Well, I hope that hymn was encouraging and stirs our hearts as we continue our time in worship, not just in worship and song, but as we worship through the hearing, the reading, and the preaching of the Word. And our message today, our message today is going to come from John chapter 18. At least that's going to be one of the verses that that we look at. But John 18 in verse number 37. And so I'll give you just a moment where you can find your Bible, find your New Testament, and turn to John chapter 18 in verse number 37. And in the context of this, we're just going to read one verse today. But the context of this one verse is where Jesus is before Pontius Pilate, right before he is crucified, and it's a conversation that is going on between our Lord Jesus Christ and the governor Pontius Pilate, who is about to sentence him to the cross. But we're just going to read one verse today. I'll read as I normally do out of the New International Version, from the Gospel according to John, chapter 18, and I will just read verse number 37. So let's do give attention as we read. And even though you're home, as I normally say, if you're willing and able, you could stand for the public reading of God's holy word. It's okay if you want to stand at home. But let's listen to this. John chapter 18 and verse number 37. "You are a king then?" asked Pilate. And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." And let's take an occasion to pray. Our Father, Lord, we do pray that you would find us today acceptable worshipers found only in the work of your Son and through the strength and the power of your Spirit. We thank you for this day that we can gather, though remotely, yet unite our hearts and minds in your praise and in your worship. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us your Word, for being pleased to speak to us and to communicate to us your will and your Word and your truth. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is your word. And Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear what you would have us to learn today. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing unto you. And I pray it in Christ's holy name. Amen. I don't think I have to say be seated when you're probably sitting in your chair at home anyway. But anyway, well, a very popular phrase, at least among church folks during this time of the year, is a phrase that says, "Remember the reason for the season." Now, this is a common phrase, and like I said, among Christians, you will hear this a lot at this time of the year. And so we are going to end this year in our church with a short series, Lord willing, just about a 3 week a short series that kind of follows along this vein of remembering the reason for the season. But instead of me supplying the reason, I want to explore what Jesus said and the definition that he gave on what was the reason that he came and was born. In my reading of the Gospels, I have found at least 15 different times where our Lord very specifically defines why it is that he came and ministered among us. Several times our Lord addressed this issue, many times, in fact, where Jesus clearly explains, and he explains to us why it was that he was born in Bethlehem and why it was that he came And he ministered to us. He just clearly lays out, this is why I came, and this is why I was born. Now some of these reasons that our Lord gives are very well known to us and amongst the redeemed. But some of the reasons that our Lord gave, I would say, are a little more surprising, and you might even say somewhat puzzling. In fact, Lord willing, when we go through some of these and we read them, and we're going to say, now, Tim, are you sure that's what Jesus said? That Jesus said that is why he came? You might just scratch your head a little bit, as I've scratched my head a little bit, and as our Lord defines of why it was that he came and what was his reason. And I think it's good for us to familiarize ourselves not only with some of these more well-known reasons, but also some of the reasons that our Lord gave that sometimes we don't often contemplate the whole lot. You know, our Lord Jesus said that a good teacher is like an owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. And I have used that verse in Matthew 13 and verse 52 as a catalyst and really as a kind of a pattern for my own philosophy of ministry and you know what it is that I am to preach on in a preaching schedule. And because I need to bring out new things as well as old. I mean, there are some truths that I need to keep coming back to in my teaching and in my preaching. There ought to be at least somewhat a repetitive nature to the themes that we discuss when we proclaim the gospel. As the old hymn writer says, I love to tell the story, the old, old story of Jesus and his love. And so there ought to be some old things that I keep, that we keep coming back to. But we shouldn't just bring out the old things from the storehouse. Our Lord says we are also need to bring out some new things. So some new treasures that we are to bring out of the storehouse and to lay before the people of God. Now these new treasures, as it were, are not new truths. But they are things that you might say might seem a little new because they don't get the same exposure as some of the repetitive things that get the hit over and over again. I think one of the things that we're often guilty of, or we often do in church, whether as a preacher or as a hearer of the word, we kind of have a tendency to ride in the same kind of ruts. We have our favorite topics and our favorite themes, and you just kind of talk about this at this time of the year, and we just ride in the same ruts of the topics. But here our Lord says that to be a good teacher, we need to bring out old things as well as new. We need to kind of cover all of the bases. And so the whole counsel of God needs to be proclaimed. The old treasures about why he came, as well as new treasures on the reasons that our Lord Jesus Christ came, need to be put before us. And then so today we're going to start looking at some of those reasons. Now none of the reasons today that we're going to mention, I would say, I don't think that they come across as shockingly new, at least not the ones we're going to look at today. But they are necessary for us to understand Christ's coming. Because Christ came, to kind of sum up what we're going to talk about, Christ came to be a proclaimer of the truth, and he came to be a fulfiller of the truth. One of the reasons that Jesus Christ clearly gave on why he came, Jesus says he came to be a preacher. And he came not only to be a preacher, but he came to practice what he preached in order that he could provide for his hearers. So the first reasons we're going to look at on why he came to be a preacher, a proclaimer, he came to be a fulfiller of what it was that he preached, and he did that so he could be a provider to us of the things that we need the most. And so first of all, let's think of this reason that Jesus gave on why he came. And I'll just put it succinctly that he came to proclaim. And Jesus said that he came to preach. There are a couple of narratives in the scripture, one in Luke chapter 4 around verse 43, and another one in Mark 1 about 32 through 38, and it's this narrative where Jesus has come into a town and he heals a lot of people. In fact, he goes back to the house in the evening, and you know, all the town, and they bring all their sick people to him, and he does all these miraculous things, and he heals them of their various ailments. And then that night, he's in the house, and he gets up early the next morning, and he goes off by himself to pray, and the people are looking for him because he's been doing all of these amazing miracles, and they crowding around him, and the disciple says, look at all these people, surely you can do all of this ministry. And then Jesus says, no, I'm not going to heal here anymore. I need to go to another town and preach to them, because that is why I came. You know, I mean, Jesus' ministry was full of a lot of amazing miracles. And when Jesus did these miracles, the people wanted more and more of him. They wanted more miracles. And the disciples wanted him to do more miracles. He could have just sat there and done miracle after miracle. But Christ's main purpose in coming was to proclaim a message and not to perform a miracle. Now, Jesus did a lot of miracles, but the miracles that he did testified to the importance of the message that he was proclaiming. It just testified that what he was preaching was something that needed to be listened to, and so it was accompanied by these miracles to get people's attention. That the miracles testified to the veracity of the message and the truth of the message. I mean, we've all kind of heard the saying, the proof is in the pudding. Well, the miracle was the proof, but the message that he proclaimed was the pudding. Because he said, the reason that I came was to preach. And so he went around the towns of the Judea and Galilee to proclaim a message, because he said, that is why I came. And you know, as the crowds and the multitudes, as they listened to our Lord Jesus and the messages that he gave, one of the things that they said about Jesus is, you know, that no one ever spoke like this guy. I mean, there was something about the way that our Lord preached that really got people's attention. In fact, at one occasion, the leaders and the elders, they sent guards to go get the Lord Jesus and to arrest him. And they went to arrest him at one of these feasts, and Jesus was preaching to the multitudes, and the guards were listening to his sermon, I guess, or heard part of it in John chapter 7, and they heard it, and then they went back to the chief priest, and they came back empty-handed, and they were like, why didn't you bring him in? I mean, why didn't you arrest him and bring him in? And they just said, no one ever spoke like this guy. I mean, the way this guy preaches, it's just, it is amazing. And the people, it says in Luke 4 and verse 22, that the people marveled at the gracious words that came from his lips. I mean, because the reason that he came was to proclaim. It was to preach a message. And you know, our Lord's preaching and his parables have outlasted and outshined all the healing miracles that he ever did. I mean, all the miracles were amazing, but they were really kind of time sensitive and just affected that group at that time. But our Lord's messages, our Lord's sermons, our Lord's parables, they have gone down through the centuries, and they have affected people the world. Why? Because he came to proclaim a message. And when our Lord, he says, I came to preach, and the way that he preached just amazed the people at the gracious words that came from his lips. But also the way that he preached really struck them, because they said Jesus spoke and preached with authority. Somehow the way that our Lord Jesus Christ presented His message to the people, He came across as authoritative in everything that He said. In fact, in the Matthew 7 and verses 28 and 29, it says that after the Sermon on the Mount, and then the people were just perplexed about, wow, what about this sermon? And He says, it's so different than the rabbis and all the other churches and the way they present a message, because He teaches as one who has authority. In Luke 4:32, it says that they were amazed at His teaching because His words had an authority behind them. I guess it was common in the day, as it is common in this day, when religious people speak, that they cite other authorities or higher authorities on, you know, to give their interpretation of this or that passage. But you know, Jesus didn't do that. He didn't cite this rabbi or this teacher or this school of thought. Jesus Christ cited Himself as the authority. Jesus would say, you have heard that it was said, you know, something or other. And He said, but I tell you, because Jesus Christ is the authority. Because when He came to preach, He came as the very Word of God itself. You know, in Revelation chapter 19, it says this is one of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ that is on Him. He is called the Word of God. And the Gospel of John opens with this passage that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it goes on to say, and the Word became a flesh and dwelt among us, and He is full of grace and truth. He comes as the authoritative Word, because He is the Word of God. Jesus Christ, the reason that He came was to preach. He came to proclaim, because Jesus Christ is the ultimate prophet. You know, in the Old Testament, Moses being one of the top prophets, and the people of God actually heard God Himself speaking from the mountain as God spoke directly to the people, and it scared the people to death. They said, we cannot handle this. And so they asked God, let somebody speak to us for you. And so Moses was raised up, and he, as a prophet, he spoke to the people on the behalf of God. And in Deuteronomy chapter 18, there's a prophecy given that God would raise up a prophet like Moses that would stand as a prophet before the people, and he would speak the words of God to the people. He would be like Moses, but in fact, he would be greater than Moses. Because in times past, God spoke to us through the prophets and the teachers. But in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son, the one through whom He made the world. You know, Jesus Christ is the preacher. He is the prophet beyond compare. You know, a lot of times people who don't believe in the Lord Jesus, and yet they will acknowledge that He is a good teacher or a good prophet. But He is so much more than that, because He is the teacher and He is the prophet beyond compare. Jesus Christ, the reason that He came was to stand before men and to speak to them on the behalf of God, to proclaim God's word, and they'll do it authoritatively, because He speaks the word of God as the very word of God. Jesus is a proclaimer. He came to proclaim the truth. And you know, there's an amazing thing Jesus claimed in John 8 and verse 28. Jesus said that all of His words and everything that He said, that He only spoke what the Father taught Him and told Him to speak. And that is because Jesus Christ was the Son of God, was sent by the Father, and He comes into the world with a message, and every word of that message is exactly what God wanted us to hear. I mean, as the ultimate prophet and preacher, Jesus Christ came to proclaim the truth. I mean, we read it in the text as we open this message in John 18 verse 37. He says, "In fact, the reason that I was born and the reason I came into the world is to testify to the truth." That is why he came. He comes to testify to the truth. And you know, earlier on he said that he is the embodiment of truth because he is the way and the truth and the life. So Jesus comes as the embodiment of truth and he comes to testify to the truth. He came to proclaim truth and he is the final authority on what truth is. He came to proclaim. This is what he tells Pilate. I was born in this world to testify to the truth. And you know, I think this is such a great message to hear at this time of the year or any time of the year, because we live in a world that it seems that it doesn't know right and wrong. It doesn't know truth from error or bitter from sweet or light from darkness. Everything is relative. And it is good to have the prophet, the proclaimer, the preacher, the truth who proclaims the truth to us. And for that is why he came. He said he came to preach and to testify of the truth. But not only did Jesus say he came to be a preacher and a preacher of truth, but he also came to be a fulfiller of the truth that he was proclaiming. In a verse in Matthew chapter 5, and verse number 17, Jesus again gives one of these definitions of why he came. He says, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Jesus said that the reason that he came, he didn't come to change anything or do any away with any of God's word, because he is the word of God, but he came to actually fulfill the word of God. There is a perfect continuity with all of God's word that he has revealed to us. And Jesus, as the word of God, came to declare it as well as fulfill it. I mean, he would open these scriptures and he would say, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. These are the scriptures that testify of me," because Jesus claimed to preach it, but he also came to fulfill it. Jesus is the culmination and the consummation of all of the scripture, because he is the Word of God. If you want to know what God has said, you have to go to his word, and that is Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus came as a preacher and he proclaimed this amazing message that no one ever spoke like this guy, but you know that Jesus is the conclusion of his own sermon? That what he preached was himself, because he is the fulfillment of everything that he proclaimed. He is the be-all and the end-all of it all. He said, "I didn't come to do away with it. I came to fulfill it all." He's the preacher as well as the fulfiller of it all. In fact, he said something else in another way of looking at this, of how he's the fulfiller and the fulfillment of all of the scripture says. But he also came to do it and to fulfill it. In John 6 and verse 38, Jesus says this, "For I have come down from heaven." The reason that I came, the reason that I was born, "I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of the one who sent me." I mean, this is another way of looking at this. He said he came to fulfill the law, in that he says, he didn't come to do away with the law. He came to keep the law. He came to do God's will. In fact, there's a tremendous verse where in Hebrews chapter 10. Just listen to this on here. Jesus says why he came. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. He prepared Christ a body to be born. And with burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. And then I said, here I am. It's written about me in the scroll. It's in the scriptures. I have come to do your will, oh God. The reason that he came in a body and was born was to do God's will. The reason he came from heaven was to do the will of the Father who is in heaven. The scripture says that God sent his Son, born of woman and born under the law, to redeem those that were under the law. Why did Jesus come? Jesus was born to obey. He came so that he would obey the law and to fulfill every aspect of the law. You know that even as a child, he knew that he must be about his father's business. I mean, at 12 years old, he said, did he know, I've got to be in my father's house. I have to be about my father's business because he came to fulfill the law. And he obeyed the law his whole life. I mean, this is such an amazing thing to think about. I mean, he said to his accusers at the end, which of you can convict me of sin? Who can prove me of doing one thing wrong my whole life? He came to obey the law. He kept it all and he fulfilled every aspect of God's will and God's law. Hebrews 5 and verse 8 said he learned obedience from what he suffered. Everything that he did was in obedience to the Father to fulfill the will of the Father. Philippians 2 and verse 8 said that he became obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. And that is because the reason that he came was not to do his own will, but to do the will of the one who sent him. He came to fulfill the will of the Father. You know, to put it another way, and this was meaningful to me this week as I was thinking about this, that Jesus came to preach. I mean, that's, he said it clearly, I have come to preach. But he also came to practice what he preached. And I think that's just an amazing thought. I don't know if that ever aggravating to you when preachers don't practice what they preach. Now this happens more often than we would like to admit, and to one extent or another, and I'm saying this as a preacher, preachers fall short of practicing what they preach. I mean, all preachers come short in this to one way or another. We preach a standard that we cannot reach that standard. And then there's something almost hypocritical in a way when we proclaim a message that I cannot attain to. And all preachers fall short in this arena. Even great prophets like Moses, there's an asterisk behind or beside all of their names because in some way we don't practice what we preach. And that is true of every preacher that has ever existed except one. Jesus practiced what he preached. He came as a preacher to faithfully proclaim God's will. And he not only faithfully proclaimed it as the Word of God, but he faithfully did it in obedience to God. He's not just a preacher, he's a fulfiller. He fulfilled it all. He did the Father's business. And you know, he is the only one that has ever existed that practiced what he preached. You know, when he preached and he worked and he did the Father's will a couple of different times, a voice came down from heaven where the Father said before the multitudes, this is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased. And he is well pleased because Jesus faithfully proclaimed the message and he faithfully did and fulfilled the message, always doing what pleased the Father. Because what is one of the reasons Jesus came? He came as a preacher. But he also came to practice what he preached as a fulfiller of Scripture. He didn't come to do away with it. He came to keep it all and to do it all and to fulfill it all. And do you know why he did that? Because he came as a preacher and he came as a fulfiller. But also he did that because he came to be our provider. And I hope we can really revel in this, because Jesus came to preach. He said, this is why I came. This is why I was born. I came to testify to the truth. I have come to preach. This is why I came. But not only that, I came to fulfill what I am actually preaching. I came to practice what I preached. And he did that in order to provide for us, his hearers. The reason Jesus came and he was born under the law, he was born under the law, as the scripture says in Galatians 4, to redeem us who were under the law. Jesus came to keep the law for us. He was born, Jesus Christ was born to obey, so he could convey his obedience to us. He came to preach and to fulfill so he could provide what he earned for himself so he could give it to us. You know, Jesus kept all of the law for a reason. He kept all of the law because I broke all the law. He kept it for me. Jesus is the only one who has ever existed that practiced what he preached. And the reason he practiced what he preached is because I don't practice what I preach. And he did it for me. He preached it and he fulfilled it so he could provide it for me. He gives me all that he is. You know, Jesus provides his perfection to all of his future followers. I mean, he comes to proclaim the holy, righteous standard of God, and he fulfilled the holy, righteous standard of God in order that he could provide that keeping of the law to us by his grace. I tell you, on this Lord's Day, as we are in our respective homes and we're thinking about our Lord Jesus Christ, just remember on why it was that he came, and to say this, that Jesus is everything that I am not. And everything that he did in his proclaiming and in his fulfilling was to provide for me. It was to provide for you. It was to provide for his people. He was a preacher and a fulfiller in order to provide for us. And so we can revel in Christ's provision. You know, there's something else that Jesus said when he was talking to Pilate there in John 18, where he defines why it was that he came. He said, the reason that I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. And then he adds this, and everyone on the side of truth listens to me. I mean, what an amazing statement. He says, I came to testify to the truth. And guess what, guys? Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. You know, this is an amazing thing that we ought to rejoice in, and something that our Lord has provided to us. Because as Jesus comes as a preacher of a message and a fulfiller of the message, do you know that the message that Jesus preaches is not a hope-so message? Jesus did not come to preach a message that, oh, hope so, or maybe so, or I hope it, you know, that it might happen. It's not a might happen kind of message. That's not the message that Jesus proclaimed. Jesus came to proclaim a message of truth, and he said everyone on the side of truth will listen to me. Jesus' message is a no-so kind of message. It is a surefire kind of a message. It is a you can count on it kind of a message. You can bank on it kind of a message. It is a message that guarantees what is going to happen. It guarantees the results. Jesus came to preach a message. And Jesus is the message. And Jesus fulfills the message. And not only that, but he guarantees the success of the message. Because he says, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. It's a guaranteed result. You know, our Lord, he said he came to testify to the truth. And he also provides this guarantee, another one in John 8:32. He says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you're my disciples, if you hold on to the truth, if you know the truth will set you free. Not might set you free, but will set you free. In fact, Jesus said in John 8:36 that if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. He came to provide, proclaim a message, to fulfill a message, but he provides the success of that message. We will be free. The truth that he proclaims will set us free. He will set us free indeed. And I tell you, this is a great thing for us to meditate on and to think about, and why Jesus said that he came. The reason that he came to preach. He says, I got to go to these other towns. I've got to preach. I came to preach and to proclaim a message. As the Word of God, he gives us the Word of God because he is the Word of God. He sets the standard of what is truth. But not only does he proclaim truth, Jesus came to fulfill all the truth. He came to preach, but also to practice what he preached in order that he could provide for us, his hearers, and guarantee for us that we would be free. The reason that he was born, the reason that he came, was to testify to truth. And everyone on the side of truth will listen to him. Well, as we bring our remote service to an end, I hope maybe you could sing a hymn with those in your family, or just maybe by yourself in your home, and you can think about what is the reason for the season and the reasons that Jesus gave on why it is that he came. He gave a reason that he came to save us. He came to proclaim. He came to fulfill, and to fulfill it for us, and to provide for us himself, as well as a guarantee that if we are on the side of truth, then we will be free and we will listen to him. Let's pray as we bring our time to an end. Our Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We pray that you would apply it to our hearts and our lives, and Lord, that our love for your Son, the Lord Jesus, might increase a little bit more today as we contemplate why he came. And Lord, we love you. We're grateful for your goodness to us, and I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.